the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website as well, stevebick.com. First order of business, as I tweeted this morning, waking up to that another tornado, and this one not as they're never amusing. That video from Texas of the pickup truck driving away, that was that had a certain smile inducing element to it. The storms that ripped through New Orleans last night, mostly east, clearly, powerful and devastating. And I wondered out loud on Twitter, how many more calamities can people in New Orleans and the environs endure? It's unbelievable. I've checked in with, we had, for those of you that listened to the replay and have been listening, to yesterday's show this morning, you heard from Chad Schextater and touch base with Chad, and there's no immediate knowledge of horsemen and the like that live on that side of town. It seems like the horsemen kind of live up more toward Metairie in a lot of cases. But if there's anything that we hear that we can, pass along, and all the usual, aid organizations will be in full swing. Just amazing. And one thing I read already this morning is how that swath was slaughtered by Katrina, and yet it had been pretty much repopulated. And so here's a new way to be, just to have your life ripped out from under you. Just incredible. Got a busy morning, actually, and have lots to do. I actually spent a good portion already today following up on that conversation we had with Chad, and looking forward to getting some morning lines attached to the action at Fairgrounds. I went through those maiden races and did the pedigree work, and I think we got you off to a good start. For those of you that are Thoroughgraph users, Jerry and the team, Alan and everybody, they got the Saturday Fairgrounds card posted last night. So you're well out ahead of it. I mean, here it is, 96 hours out, and you've got everything you need. And I would imagine I haven't gone back to look at the PPs for the final PPs at DRF, if they've, I think we're still, we're still too far out. It's usually a 48-hour scenario for the finals with the morning line. And yeah, there's no morning line yet. So soon enough, and then we can start to. It's very funny. The earlier the PPs come out, the more eager you are to get out in front of it. It's kind of funny. I mean, even though you might have a certain pattern to get to get ready and handicap and play, but when you got them, you want to make some decisions. And There's a couple of things. The sheets, actually, the third ref kind of added a little more intrigue, I think. And I'm waiting to hear some more wider opinions the next couple of days regarding the Derby itself. Because from a figure perspective, and you could understand this the way Epicenter ran, there was no ground loss. So in terms of a fig, there's a couple of horses, more than a couple, actually. There's a few horses that are well within hailing distance, including this lightly raced Zozos. So it may not be as open and shut as you might think. Let me give you a landscape of the morning. Pat McKenna is going to join us in about 10 minutes. And there's a bunch of things to do with Pat, including, as mentioned yesterday, some of the details. You can book your Saratoga trip. You can get your tickets. And I know that this can be a kind of a crazed scenario, going through the website and booking up tickets. But, full season plans, reserved seating and the various dining option seatings as well, like the Four Star Dave and so forth. When I think didn't Pat and I, was it last year that Pat and I did it, or whenever the Ticketmaster whenever that was introduced, I remember we went through and booked and booked seats. So a couple of tables at the Four Star Day. All right, so we'll talk to Pat about that. We'll also talk about a very encouraging and I think you would say positive editorial from the people in Newsday. It's there now, actually. Came out yesterday. But an editorial from Newsday laying out how important it is for Albany to get behind the long-term plans at Belmont, with the arena up and running, and with between the Islanders and concerts and whatnot that's going to be available now. The train spur and there's a lot of positives associated and. Newsday really kind of encouraging the next steps that could be involved. And of course, this was going to be, as I think Dave O'Rourke laid out, state-sponsored bond issues to raise the considerable money involved to make all of it happen. The renovation of Belmont, turning the part of the infield into usable active attendance. So we'll get all that from Pat, and I also want to ask him about last week you had just as I said yesterday, an eye-rolling, Tom DiNapoli. He thinks, the go-to point scoring for him as comptroller is to, ridicule anything that Naira does. So let Pat explain what that was about last week. So Pat McKenna starts things off. Dick Powell right after Pat, and the action is going on right now at the Valley. The Valley that is happy. Happy Valley, and been following along. Actually, I missed the the fourth and fifth. The sixth race, I put up form to win charting of the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. They're actually just 3 minutes away for the sixth. So we'll have time with Pat, and with Pat, with Dick to look at the seventh at least and get his, there's a late pick three, seventh, eighth, and ninth. And also, we got to recap. I hope you saw the, did you see that Hong Kong Derby Saturday night? It was really good, and Romantic Warrior edges California Spangle. That California Spangle, who had a difficult assignment, he was outposted and had to do a lot of, had to be used early to gain position, and it really ran too well to lose. It ran really a courageous race, and just got worn down late. So we'll let Dick tell you more, and we'll see about maybe a pick three for the 7th, 8th, and 9th at Happy Valley this morning. We've got, of course, Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. And did you see that virtual brochure that Hill & Dale launched yesterday? It is just exquisite. And this Alapa, you know, the new farm, certainly going to visit when we're in Kentucky for Derby, and I'm looking forward to it. It just, I mean, it is breathtaking. But this new brochure they put together, I mean, it's just some incredible photography, and so that's on my timeline. We'll talk to Sid, get some final thoughts about the sale, and I've also got to give you some of the virtual the results from yesterday's virtual sale. It seemed to go over very well. I'm glad we touched on that. Trey Stiles is going to visit. Trey is unavailable tomorrow or Friday. We'll talk to Nick Tamaro, of course, Friday, and Nick and the whole team getting ready for Saturday's Texas Bred Extravaganza. SHRP. So I know that Trey is ready with his opinions for the card. Okay, Texas Champions Day. If you haven't looked, the nice fields. So we'll look to that. They've got close to $1 million in purses. Seth Merrill will get some Wednesday action in with Seth. Gulfstream and or Tampa. We'll see what he's up to. I'm sure Seth's all excited with the Saratoga kickoff. This really feels like, you know, when people can book their seats and lock in their plans, yeah, it's here. Well, the most important thing, of course, that I put up on Sunday, Tina and I were out looking for a mirror for the, we got this renovated bathroom closet. And so we're looking for a full-length mirror. And so we wanted to do a little kind of antiquing. And we went north toward Lake George. And Martha's has opened. So it's basically, yesterday I said it was spring, or on Monday I said it was spring. It's summer already, if Martha's is open. So we had the first twist cone of the season at Martha's already. Pretty funny. And later, last half hour today, looking forward to having Jamie Hayden on from the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation. I mentioned this yesterday, that, you know, last week Grayson laid out the funding that will go toward all kinds of impactful and important and valuable research projects, and Jamie's going to bring us up to speed. I mean, some things that they do are ongoing, some of their fundings, and others are, you know, new and exploring and trying to, you know, figure out any number of things. I mean, there's Strangle's work, a rotavirus research project, osteochondral disease, doing the kind of things that can help not just racehorses, sport horses, any kind of equine athlete. So it's been too long since we had a Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation conversation, but that'll come today. So there you go. There's the lineup. I've also want to ask Jamie about, just coincidentally, I got a kind of a press release from Fanticipate partnering with Grayson, and I want Jamie to tell me what that's about. So I printed it out. I didn't get a chance to dive in. So plenty to do, top to bottom today. I'll reach for Pat as I try to keep this stuff organized. And all right. Yeah, some of that. I've also got, there's another horse health story that I want to discuss. Maybe we'll get Dr. Bramlage, because Rudin Riddle has added a PET scan. So that was worth discussing as well. All right. Reach for Pat. And try to also see if there was anything else that I had to deal with.
Hello?
Hey, let's bring in. Let me bring in Pat. And hold on there, 1 second. There we go. Pat McKenna. Good morning.
Hello,
Pat.
Yes.
Hey. Good morning.
Morning.
It's always an exciting day. Saratoga ticket sales.
That's right.
You don't sound as excited as I am.
No, frankly, I was expecting to get the call from Casey. We're on the air, Steve?
We are. We are on the air because,
okay. Yeah. All right, yes. Saratoga ticket sales went out on Monday. That's the second round. We're up with group sales. 3 weeks ago or so. So yeah, absolutely. I was up at the track on Monday, took a walk around the grounds. The new paddock suite and post bar looks fantastic. I think it'll blend in really nicely while also offering a brand new amenity, especially for large groups. So the track looks great considering it was a blustery, very early spring day, but even just being there, obviously all looking forward to the start of the meet.
Well, and anybody that lives in the Northeast or any northern clime where you go through winter, there's that sort of dull gray, dirty kind of, I don't know, a pall that more or less is on everything. So until you get to kind of rake and clean up and do a little bit of sprucing, you know, things look a little, you know, they don't look great until winter is completely out of the way. So it's coming. I'm just looking at, I don't know if it was last year, or I think when the website first came on, with the ticket sales, with everything, you and I did a walkthrough to buy tickets, and here we go. I want to go to the web.
Yeah, believe it or not, Steve, as a bunch of business leaders up in Saratoga had an event last week, and they mentioned, it's hard to believe, last year at this time we were on sale with nothing because there
That's right.
Total uncertainty around whether or not we'd even be allowed to have fans during the 2021 summer season. So we've come a long way. We're right back on schedule. Reserved season passes went on sale Monday. And again, check that release. Refer you to Naira.com. There's a whole bunch of dates. Certainly wouldn't want to mangle those. But the rest of the inventory will be rolled out in short order.
Nice, and that includes the picnic paddock. I mentioned the four-star Dave, and you can pick out. You got the virtual, you know, the virtual seating to pick out the date and everything else. So people can start to really lock in with their summer plans. This will go a long way. And actually, one of the real keys, I think people generally come the same, you know, week or weekends a lot of times, Pat. But at the same time, they were kind of waiting for the stake schedule to drop. There had been some consideration apparently for a couple of big days to maybe be in different spots based on TV coverage and so forth. So having that locked in, most notably the Whitney, in its traditional spot, that goes a long way to, and now, as of now, you can really make your plans for the summer.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like from our conversations with hotel owners and, Todd Shimkus with the Saratoga County Chamber of Commerce, they're seeing strong early sales, which is important, you know, certainly from a planning perspective to be able to understand what your room availability might be for some of those bigger weekends. You know, they're feeling some of that same excitement as we did last year, but obviously last year, push it back all the way until June, essentially, is when we went on sale. You remember, we announced that we would be open only to vaccinated patrons, 99% vaccinated. Subsequent to that, the state lifted all the regulations, and we were able to open at full capacity and had a fantastic summer, and we're obviously looking forward to this summer with a Belmont Spring Summer Meet in between.
Outstanding. Well, I didn't mention the 1863 Club, but you got that. You got the box seats. You've got anything you want pretty much ready to for people to pick out their spots. Saratoga, first order of business, Pat. Second order of business, a very upbeat and I think momentum style editorial in Newsday, basically exhorting Albany to get behind all the nice things that are happening at Belmont Park, and trading off of the arena's full use, and a lot of the things that are already underway. Bring us up to speed on this, Pat. We keep taking the pulse, but it really feels like this train is starting to pull out of the station.
Sure. Even when New York State first announced that the Islanders had won the RFP and would be constructing a new permanent home for the Islanders at Belmont Park, Naira emphasized, and the state also emphasized, that this is not just about an arena. This is about the complete reimagining of Belmont Park, including the world-class racing facility that we are fortunate to run as the state franchisee. Fast forward, get through a COVID-19 pandemic. The earliest days certainly sidetracked all conversation around capital improvements. But, since then, we've been able to really focus on building local support, which is incredibly important. We're fortunate now to have the support of the towns and villages that surround Belmont, those being Floral Park, Elmont, Hempstead, and a few others. So we've expressed to the state that we now have that support. We've been engaged with the state for many months to ascertain the availability of getting access to state-backed bonds. We're not looking to borrow money from the state. We're looking to utilize our own VLT revenue stream in order to utilize bonds at a more favorable rate. That'll help with the financing long-term and will allow us to embark on the most significant racetrack construction project anywhere in the country in many, many decades. This is a complete reimagining of the facility. Your listeners may recall that we've now started a project to unlock the infield by constructing vehicular and pedestrian tunnels. That actually began last fall with the construction of a headwall that's required in order to pursue an actual underground tunnel. So we received the approval from the State Franchise Oversight Board in January. That the tunnel project is still in the design bid phase, but we're committed to that no matter what happens with the bigger picture, because we need to renovate the racing surfaces. It's been far too long, and you know, we're certainly eager to install modernized drainage, modernized facilities, just like we have at Saratoga, at the Oklahoma track, and all three surfaces at Aqueduct Racetrack. So the editorial was absolutely, it certainly does feel like some momentum in the right direction. And they came out and fully endorsed the project and called on elected officials and state leaders to provide access to those bonds so that we can move forward in an expedited way, so that this project, the overall redevelopment of Belmont Park, can be completed. So this truly is a world-class sports and entertainment destination without parallel in the country. And we're convinced that that will certainly be the case should we be able to pursue these plans.
Pat, in terms of the concepts, and it's funny because just yesterday Alan Foreman gave us an update on the redevelopment situation in Maryland as well, where you know Laurel's going to get an overhaul and there'll be an entirely new and different Pimlico for Preakness week, essentially long term. And Alan had some fascinating things about where the venue options and how the the not just sports but the entertainment concept is morphing, and it feels like racing is already, even though we've got these buildings that harken back many decades, essentially, to the kinds of crowds that that racetracks used to see. And it really does feel like there's a unique opportunity to craft something completely fresh and modern, and that the seating element is way less important than it used to be. It was sort of the message. Talk a little bit about who the consulting aspect of this and the kind of decision making that's going to be involved. Dave O'Rourke, thinking back to last summer, and Dave talked about some of the things that that they'd like to do with the building. I mean, in terms of even utilizing some of the square footage for God knows what. I mean, it feels like there's something very exciting that could happen out of all of this.
Sure, and I'm sure you heard from Alan that flexibility is paramount in this day and age. You know, we're not necessarily able to offer sports wagering on site yet, but it would be irresponsible for us not to construct a building that was appropriate for that kind of a venue should we be able to offer those kinds of services in the future. That's just one example. But even from the 30,000 foot perspective, you're looking at a building that's appropriately sized. Remember, Belmont was built, the renovated Belmont was completed in 1968, was almost immediately antiquated with the rise of other forms of gaming. This was a building that was constructed during an era when betting on horses was the only way to gamble in New York State. The timing was particularly tough, and it's a building that reflects a bygone era. To right-size the building, to make it smaller, it would be a brand-new building with, again, flexibility with regard to some of those big days. You have to keep in mind that with the unlocked infield, you're talking about, during the Belmont Stakes, for example, being able to once again hold 80, 90,000 people, right, even though the building itself will be significantly smaller. On those Saturdays that you and your listeners are familiar with, if we have 7, 8, 9,000 people, it should feel lively. It should feel exciting. Saratoga, not that the crowds are generally bigger, but even when, it has that sort of intimate feel that's part of the magic sauce, and that's what you're looking to create at a revitalized Belmont Park, something that's accessible, something that doesn't feel so imposing and monolithic, like this enormous 1.5 million square foot concrete facility. We also recognize that there are history and traditions that are associated with Belmont that we would always be looking to honor. But at the same time, you need to add elements, hospitality elements, everything that frankly we've done in Saratoga for within a facility that's just as challenging as any environment in the world to construct new things, considering the history, the traditions. That's really the name of the game, Steve, is understanding that fans in this day and age have come to expect a certain level of amenity, of hospitality, of accessibility for the venues where they choose to spend their time. And it's incumbent on us to respond to that, to anticipate some of the future use that right now could be in flux. So it's obviously an exciting opportunity. The conversation around consolidating downstate racing, finding the best use for Aqueduct has been ongoing for decades. And, we have not been shy about expressing our views to elected officials, to state leaders, that we are confident a revitalized Belmont will truly secure the future of New York horse racing, especially downstate.
Well, of course, the most important design feature that has to be included is a heated set for Andy.
Yeah, and think about building a building of that size that was not winterized. We do want to host the Breeders' Cup. This comes up every October and November. Yep. I get questions about it. We all get questions about it. Of course we want to host the Breeders' Cup. The facility right now isn't as conducive to holding a world-class event at the, especially at the cost, the ticket prices, the necessity of having some premium hospitality. It's not necessarily a 90,000 person event with a huge majority of that coming from general admission. It's a different thing. So this kind of venue would certainly be an exciting option for a return to New York at the Breeders' Cup.
Another great point. Well, I was very encouraged to see that piece from Newsday, basically the one thing we haven't discussed is Governor Hochul and what feels like a very encouraging and welcoming support from the governor's office too, which goes into this. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, one of her first public events as New York's first female governor was the 2021 Travers.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time ago. But that was, she had just been sworn in 2 or 3 days before the Travers. So that decision, symbolic as it was, is important, especially after the prior administration. The fact that she immediately recognized the importance of the Travers, the importance of Saratoga as a cultural institution, as a driver of economic activity, and a creator of jobs. And that's what we've been talking about, especially this time of year, with the budget season in full force, the legislative session ongoing. It's part of the importance of the We Are New York Thoroughbred Racing, We Are New York Horse Racing Coalition that's now about 50 members strong. As much as we love the sport, as much as we love the excitement of what's happening on track, it's also incumbent on all of us to remind our friends, our neighbors, in our case, elected officials and others, that this is a huge part of the New York economy. And back to Belmont Park, this is a project that will create jobs now and in the future. It will sustain a huge number of new jobs, and it will deepen our economic impact. Remember, NYRA is a nonprofit. We are franchised to run Thoroughbred Racing as a nonprofit. We're responsible for reinvesting all of the dollars back into these facilities, which are state property, so that at the end of our franchise, come what may, these New York State facilities are in better shape, are better cared for, and are more valuable as an asset. So we think we've done a good job of that. We've spent $130 million since 2016 on capital improvement projects at all three facilities. They are generally more obvious at a place like Saratoga Racecourse, but even at Belmont Park, the new dormitories, the new barns, the things that are sustaining a year-round training facility are also incredibly important. At Aqueduct, those three, those brand new racetracks, those two turf courses, as you know, the fall meet at Aqueduct is now as strong as it ever has been, certainly, and competes with any circuit in the country. And I don't know, 15 years ago, if I had said that, your listeners may have had a hearty laugh, but that is the case. We're now bringing that momentum from Saratoga into Belmont Fall and right into the Aqueduct Fall Meet as well. So we're in a strong place, and you know, we are eager to communicate that because it's important to the state, it's important to NYRA, and it is important to the thousands of men and women who are the backbone of the sport 365 days a year.
Yeah, nicely summed up. And, you know, one thing, you mentioned the We Are New York Horse Racing. I saw the other day, in fact, one of those, you know, just one of those little kind of, did you know, in fact, I think it was a DYK kind of a thing, that knew you, that racing and breeding and, you know, the enterprise of equine sport, and what the racetrack represents is New York's second largest agribusiness, which I had not heard that quoted that way before, Pat. And that to me was a pretty stunning statistic and something that, you know, could be, you know, could easily be championed and get something, yeah, to, you know, throw at people that you know, think that this is some sort of a, you know, sideshow.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Not only that, you know, as a vehicle to preserve open space, which is, yep, always important. And yeah, I mean, those are the elements of the sport that so many observers, so many fans who might turn into the Belmont Stakes and maybe come out to Saratoga 3-4 times a year. I'm sure you know plenty of those people who love it when they're there, but don't necessarily live and breathe it and think about it like we do 12 months a year. It's big business. It's really important to the state's economy. Being able to meet with folks just the other day up in Saratoga, it really hits home. But it's not altogether different, you know, down at Belmont Park. You think about the fact that so many of these trainers who are running their small, middle, and large businesses at Belmont Park are living in the community, are spending dollars locally. So it truly is a huge driver of the economy statewide. And we're eager to tell that story. We Are New York Horse Racing is up with a significant paid advertising campaign. If you're listening upstate, you'll start to see those 30-second spots today, tomorrow, for about the next 4 to 6 weeks. We're pleased about that. We're aggressively positioning New York racing for the future.
Well, and that'll include ultimately a new and different and at the same time familiar and historic Belmont Park. Pat, I appreciate that opportunity to kick off the Saratoga ticketing season and kind of draw attention to what feels like a lot of momentum, and we'll probably get an update Belmont Stakes Week on a lot of this topic.
I look forward to it. Appreciate it, Steve.
Pat McKenna, everybody, PC McKenna on your Twitter feed. Of course, the New York Racing Association. And what we're going to do here is reach for Dick. And we've only got about 5 minutes to post. In fact, it might even be less. I want to get Dick in here to give us a quick, see if we've got time to punch a pick three play at Happy Valley for these last three. And that triple that just won the sixth a little bit ago, was made good sense. Was one of the horses on form to win that figured prominently. And let's say good morning, Dick Powell.
Steve, you back? Where are you?
I'm home.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
How you feeling, first of all? Let's get your day.
Right now, I have I don't know what you call it. I had the cataract surgery on my left eye, and that's recovering nicely. So now I can actually go without glasses for driving. But when I look to the right and then go back to the left, it kind of like takes a little bit of time to focus. And then when I'm reading or I'm at the computer, some of the stuff I can do without glasses, some of them I've had to buy a cheap cheater pair that can help me on the computer. So it's like I have three different vision needs. Now I get the second eye, the right eye. I only have two eyes, by the way. And the right eye will get done 2 weeks from today, and then it's clear sailing. So it's gone real well. The stitches for the skin cancer surgery came out Monday. That's healing very well. No problems there. Knock wood. So, yeah.
All right. Good. Good. All right. Let's just keep healing up. And in the meantime, let's take a look quickly at the 7th, 8th, and 9th at Happy Valley, because there's time for a pick three ticket. And you got a heavy favorite and seizing the moment in here, the six, who does figure, I put up some form to win charting, but is not as dominant as on that front as he is in the betting. 8-5 right now.
Yeah, I went three deep in here. I did use him, seizing the moment, John Size and Joe Marrero, always potent combination. I think they've won 20-something races so far at the meet. But I'm going to also use the 9, Prince Dragon, who is just in very good form, has to overcome post 11, thus the long odds. And number 12, Smart Idea, gets in light, Harry Bentley, very good form, nothing not to like. And so I'll see, you know, I'll take the favorite if he can win, but I'm going to make sure I use the other two. So 6, 9, 12, and race 7. The first, like race 8, has the real big favorite. Odds on number 5, Lucky Swainess. He won both his career starts, just crushed competition, just did it as easy as could be. He's already, I looked at the current odds, he's already, odds on winner. So that betting him lights out, only has to carry 127 pounds, draws well, and gets post 8 with Zach Purton. So I used him, and I threw in a little bit of 11, Flaming Passion, just in case. Of all the rest, he looks to be in the best form, but the 5 does look tough there. So it's 6, 9, 12, with 5, with last leg, 3 horses, the 1, amazing one, plus Zach Purton, breaking from the rail, big rider switch here as well, besides the post relief, number 2, Zone D, Blake Shen rises horse, probably sit mid-pack, hopefully can get rolling in the stretch, and we will also use number 9, Packing Award.
Yep.
Who had been in real good form. Has to overcome post 8 because there's going to be speed to his inside. Karis Teton, who had a big winner in the Hong Kong Derby over the weekend, gets the ride. So we're going to use 1, 2, and 9 in the last leg. So 6, 9, 12 with 5, with 1, 2, 9. And then in that second leg, if you want to get ambitious, instead of just singling the 5 Lucky Swainess, you might also want to use the 11.
All right, great. Now the light is up, actually. The light is rolling. And when it came to, and it looks like they're moving to the gate, when it came to form to win, 6 with the 111-12. 6 with the 111-12 was the way that one shaped up. And, you know, it's funny. Lucky Swainess in the 8th, does not look dominant when it comes to the waveform to win season. So kind of interesting. Let me stay on top of this. And we've got a couple behind the gate. Get the volume on. I'm looking forward to talking to you about that Hong Kong Derby, which was really
that was tremendous.
It really was. I'll put a link up for those that didn't see. There's typically the stretch. They show the turn and the stretch run, but should really see the whole thing to appreciate the kind of effort that the runner-up turned in, California Spangle. I mean, you talked about being outposted. That was... He was victimized by the post position. All right, just about set. Hold on here. Let me...
Even money here, the fave. They're seizing the moment. They're ready. Off and racing from the 1,200. Pretty good line away. Mr. Colourful Super Dobbin showing pace out wider. Towards the inside, Magic Phoenix, Happy Shearing. And in that division as well is Decisive 12 as they're four deep into the first turn. Followed by Smart Idea. Next is Family Folks. Two links seizing the moment. Folds Nothing New. Getting on heels badly there. At the back is Prance Dragon. And last of all, Lockheed. He's tailed off by three links and won't go a yard. Speed's hot up front. And they're three deep. Mr. Colourful pouring on the pressure with Super Dobbin and Happy Shearing. Gee, they're strung out here. Next is Magic Phoenix, fourth. Two links Decisive 12. Smart Idea. The rider trying to remove the goggles there. Next then came Family Folks around the outside. Comes seizing the moment, but he's four and five deep. Folds, the rider, also trying to move the goggles as they swing into the straight. Mr. Colourful, he's been pouring on the pressure throughout. Happy Shearing there. Super Dobbin's going up and down in the same spot. And descending now is seizing the moment. Seizing the moment. Smart Idea up the inside. They've got to Mr. Colourful and Happy Shearing. Smart Idea saved all the ground. He'll prevail and do it really nicely. Smart Idea seizing the moment. Not sure fourth. It's either Folds or Nothing New who ran on out wider. Happy Shearing. Next in was Prance Dragon. And then came Mr. Colourful, Family Folks, Super
Well, there, there we go, Dick. And not a bad result because, let's see, 5-1 the last time I looked. And... 6-1 when they left the gate, as it turns out, for Smart Idea. That was the 12, and the favorite, 6-5, just couldn't get to him.
Yeah, and you heard him talking about riders trying to remove the goggles. Well, it's raining there all day, and, you know, they're not used to mud getting kicked up in their face. So the jocks, sound like a couple of jocks might have trouble.
Oh, well.
Doing that, but yeah, it's been a very wet day. Times have been pretty slow, and so that adds an X factor because we have usually the consistency of the course that they race over is just amazing. It's hardly ever a factor, so tonight it might be.
12-6, 10-8 is how this lines up, and Smart Idea was the top lean on Form to Win. Form to Win also providing the Exacta and the Omni pairing in that sixth race. So halfway through this late action and kick off the pick three, Dick, with a 6-1 shot. So I hope some people able to get on board and leaning heavily on the five in the eighth and then 1-2-9 for Dick. In a low-cost and potentially nice-yielding pick three, let's talk about what went on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and the Hong Kong Derby, Romantic Warrior. And these two, actually, Dick, they feel like, you know, they feel like they're the next generation.
They really are. And Romantic Warrior wound up winning the mile. Looked very good doing it. That was as much post position as anything because California Spangle drew terribly for that race. Then when they came back at the mile and eighth in the Classic Cup, California Spangle redeemed themselves with a very handy when Romantic Warrior was fourth that night. Well, now we come back in the Mile and a Quarter Derby, going around two turns, California Spangle draws post 10. And if you saw the race out of the gate or get to watch the complete replay, you see Zach really has to use him to get over. Now, he didn't go that fast, but he had to use energy, had to keep looking over his right shoulder to see if he had enough room. Finally got over. Now, what I loved with Zach is when he made the lead, he did not slow it down. He kept going 23 and change, 23 and change. Just that relentless pace, top of the stretch, at a point where it looked like he might have been out of gas because he suddenly veered off the rail like a couple of paths and like lost his action slightly, definitely lost his balance. And then somehow he's still there. And now it looks like, Jesus, he's going to win this thing. And then here comes Karis Teton on Romantic Warrior to run him down by a head. All four horses were terrific. The first four finishes, Money Catcher, Senior Tobler, the Grey Horse Rally from way, way back to get fourth. But the top two are just going to be superstars on the Hong Kong circuit. It was the fastest Hong Kong Derby run at the Mile and a Quarter, with the exception of Golden 60. And Golden 60 had won the Triple Crown 2 years ago, and we've seen what he's done since then. And the top four horses all broke 201 flat for the final time. So 2 flat .23 for the winner was, number one, extremely fast compared to the last 20-something runnings of the Derby, also extremely fast on the night, because it was the only race on the night that was faster than standard time. So it was just two magnificent performances, and not just the horses, Steve, but how Danny Shum and Tony Cruz get these sprinters that started their careers out 6 furlongs. Romantic Warrior won twice at Happy Valley. That's not really where classic horses usually emerge from. And he just kept getting better and better. And California Spangle, as fast as he is, I mean, he's capable of going sub 21 core miles. And yet Tony Cruz was adamant about his ability to get the distance. He was absolutely right. The horse was just remarkable. So it was just a great race, a great result, because you got
freezes.
Yeah.
Tell you, it gets cold there. I've been there in the winter and it's cold.
What's going on with that, with the dates? What's Hawthorne doing?
Hawthorne has got the harness.
Yeah.
Then the thoroughbreds. Then the harness.
Yeah.
Then the thoroughbreds.
Right.
So you're going back and forth. That's the only track they have open now in Illinois. Yeah. They need another track.
Yeah.
Desperately need it. If they're going to have racing there, they need another racetrack.
Well, so. We'll see if this crazy concept, and where's it, Davenport? Not in Davenport, in Quad Cities. Where's that? There's that.
You know, I've never been there.
Well, Churchill's got that thing right
there.
They
own that too?
Yeah, they do. And I don't know if they're serious.
They just bought Colonial Downs too.
They did buy Colonial, and you've had this morning about a couple of exchanges. Everybody involved there, in terms of the horsemen, they certainly are optimistic, and you know, they you know, they understand why people seem concerned about what the future could hold, but things have, you know, risen from the ashes to get to this point. It doesn't make sense that, you know, that there'd be a, you know, a threat to...
It's sad to think that...
3-year period, you know, 4, 5, and 6, they're racing for big money during that time. And for the, you know, for the owner and the prestige and having that type of horse racing in the backyard and stuff, it's a great deal. So it was just a great result. Start to finish, top to bottom.
Well, what about this weekend?
This weekend, we back off a little bit in terms of the stakes schedule, but we do run Sunday, and then we stay at Sha Tin for an all-weather meet next Wednesday. So when we come on here next Wednesday, Steve, it'll be all-weather racing from Sha Tin that morning. It'll be a Sha Tin. Let me double check that. This is Sha Tin. Yeah, that works out. So we'll be on that morning, March 30th, but it'll be all weather racing. Then back to Sha Tin turf for April 3rd. And then the stakes schedule is such that that day, April 3rd, the Chairman's Trophy and the Sprint Cup are both scheduled. Those are group twos, one going short, one going a mile. Golden 60 is nominated. By the way, Golden 60 had a barrier trial, and he went 109 and change. And he not only went 109 and change, but he looked real good going 109 and change. So, yeah, he got beat in that last race. Track was off. You know, it might have been just a race you can draw a line through. But he will be back on April 3rd. For the Chairman's Trophy going a mile, and then all the usual suspect sprint types will be in the Sprint Cup. One other thing, Steve, the other night, if anyone really stayed with it after Hong Kong Derby was race 8, race 10 was a class 3, and Blaze Warrior ran a last quarter that was as good as you are going to see. He is only 3 years old. Came from dead last, passed 11 horses in the stretch. Final time, 108.94. He ran his last half in 44 and change. And not only did he just blow by everyone, he had the race wrapped up 50 yards from the wire. So it was this sudden acceleration that was just amazing to see. John Sides is the trainer. Joe Moreira is the rider, a son of Sebring. We see the Sebrings down in Australia. Usually golden slipper type horses, but just an amazing horse. He ran fourth in the mile, and then they deemed him not good enough to continue the distance races. So now maybe he's just a one turn come from behind sprinter, but that fourth quarter, that last quarter he ran in the last race Sunday morning, that was just awesome. So that just stuck out as something to really keep track of.
Cool. Well, I'm just looking at the numbers, and two very nice exactas here already this morning. Just now, 49.60. These are for $2. Smart Idea paid 15.80, actually. How about that?
I got all of it.
Yeah, exactly. It was really 7-1. And before that, the 6, before you came on, 76.80 for that triple-triple Stormtrooper exacta that Form to Win pointed you at. So that not so bad. Just as Papo and I talk about, a couple of quick hits, adjust the distance, and you know, look at, you know, who's best at the trip and who's been fastest and how they look on average, and you know gives you a blueprint to approach this if it's an area that you're kind of overwhelmed when you look at the Hong Kong action.
And the strength of form to win are the races where the horses have raced frequently.
Exactly.
This next race with the heavy favorite, he's only had two starts. And as good as they've been, it's still only two starts, and his rating hasn't increased like it will as he gets more racing. So I think that's one reason why they don't have him as highly rated as he would had he been, you know, more and more racing. But the way they do their numbers, they're not anticipating this big upswing in speed ratings, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. The
weight that this horse is going to have to carry.
Now,
he's running what he's running, and you and I as handicappers can look and say, wow, this horse is good. He's only going to get better. And until then, his ratings on form to win will just be what they are. But then all you got to do is take a peek at the past performances and see how good he is. So it might point you to the second best horse. It might point you to someone with an overlooked ability to pull off the upset, which is always the case. But the young horses that kind of get their career started in Hong Kong, they start at a certain point and then work their way up. As we saw with California Spangle and with Romantic Warrior, they started out at 52. California Spangle won two Griffin races last year in June and July. And that's where he began his career. So he wasn't even rated until he raced this year. So then the ratings go up. Romantic Warrior's gone from 52 to 102, and I'm sure he'll be even higher as he competes against a group company.
Well, you got about 15 minutes, a little less actually now, and 12 minutes, and you're looking at 3-5 on Lucky Swannies, the 5 here with Zach Purton for KL Men Men. And then from there, 7-2 on Tornado Phantom for John Size and Marrera. And I saw another small number. Flaming Passion, Frankie Lohr sends out with Matthew Chadwick, your third choice, the 11. So in terms of price, 1-2 now on Lucky Swannies, 5-2 and 11. And Dick suggested maybe a little backup action on that 11, but clearly the 5, your heavy favorite. Dick, going to wrap up. I am not dealing with Maidan at all. If you've got anything you want to impart,
you got to be a little patient, I think. But
no, I saw they drew the races, and I saw it as a big American contingent and a big Japanese contingent. So you got the home horses and two big international powers going in. I haven't looked at the form guide or anything yet, but yeah, looks real good. And the Fairgrounds card, which I also have not done the early work because that just doesn't work for me unless I have a gun to my head and a deadline. But yeah, those races are going to be big and full. And what I love on a Louisiana Derby Day card is the maidens, which maidens are making their debut for Asmussen and Stahl and Cox and, you know, all those well-bred horses you're going to see. The nice thing is it looks like they have really good depth in all the races for Saturday. So that's just going to be a terrific card down in New Orleans.
No doubt. The only, the smallest field, of course, is the Oaks with Echo Zulu kind of I don't know if scaring people off or not, but just a six-pack there. But other than that, nice. And my closer work this morning, after we had Chad Chexnader yesterday, Epicenter, I won't say is vulnerable per se, but it may not be as much of a, as much as a lean that everybody kind of anticipated. I think there's a couple of horses a little closer to him than we anticipated going in. So with further examination, the question is about pace again and, how much pressure he faces. And don't forget, this is not a mile and an eighth. This is a mile and 3/16. So That's an added, just an added wrinkle, the Preakness distance here. Dick, I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Steve enjoyed it.
I know. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you. Dick Powell, everybody. HKJC Racing on Twitter. HKJC underscore racing. Let's take a break here. We'll reach for Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Coming up, Trey Stiles. SHRP action. We're going to get Trey's look ahead to Texas Champions Day. Back after this. Hour two at the races. Sirius XM.
The Ponce Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Nationally recognized for making stallions since 1933 and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to...
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
4 career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's racetrack industry program is your win.